now our pastor, Lane Stockton.
Good evening. Good to see all of you back here today. Glad to have visitors here tonight with us. Good to have the Corwins down for a little while. Soon pray that it may take a permanent state of being, but leave that in the Lord's hands. Good to have them here, at least for the winter. Good to have a friend that I have met through email, Daniel Shea. Dan, thank you for being with us. We have emailed back and forth probably about 20 times maybe. Not long sentences, not long emails, but just a little bit. And Daniel's from Wisconsin, so he's visiting with us tonight. And y'all, thank you for being with us tonight, Daniel. Then, Orville, good to see you. He's come back from the islands. So glad to see Orville back with us. I called him Oliver like for 6 times this morning. And he just was kind and let it stand. It's Orville with the Wright brothers, right? Brother Hector took him home, and that'll help me keep things in mind. Brother Hector's in love with airplanes. The Wright brothers, Orville. That's how I know it from here on out. Orville. All right, let's go over into the book of Mark. We'll continue our studies verse by verse through the book of Mark. Chapter number 14 tonight. Chapter 14. And before we get started, I'll give you a kind of an update on what took place in Canada while I was up there, being able to be a help to those folks up there. We'll be in Mark 14, and we'll start reading around 27 here in a moment. Many of you have met the folks from Canada. Some of you don't know this, but years ago their pastor came down, or their church supported me and my family's missionaries to Greece. So that's how I was familiar with the church to begin with. Pastor Reeves started the church up there 30 some odd years ago, I think 37 if I'm not mistaken. And anyway, you know he got cancer here a little while back and passed away. But he came down to visit several times here in Florida. He came one time, brought 15 men down, and put the shingles back on the parsonage for us. They just come down on their own dime and was a big help. And Brother Reeves has always been kind that way to do what he can whenever he saw a need that they could meet. And so he passed away, and without someone lined up to take the pastorate. And since he passed away, it has been one struggle after the next, after the next, after the next. So it's not just common to Americans. It's a church problem. Whenever we forget that Christ is the head and the pastor is just an office of the church and not the head, then we have problems, because then others want to stick their head in and become the head. And so it became really, really ugly for those folks up there. It really did. They began to pass new constitution and bylaws because the certain group had the most votes. And here's one of the bylaws that passed. If you wasn't at church 15 minutes early and stayed 15 minutes after church was over, you could be put under church discipline. So I got to thinking about that. Some of my folks would be locked in jail for getting church discipline. We just had to put you in a chain, lock you up for a little while. It's been that way for 9 years, and I've just let the Lord have it. He is what it is. So, and they passed another one like this here. It takes an 81% church vote to take a pastor, but only 51% of church vote to get rid of a pastor. So they began to do this kind of stuff, and they put together their 10 rules and regulations and presented them to everybody and said, you either sign it or you can walk out the door now and you're no longer a member of the church. And 27 of them decided they could not live under those circumstances, and they left. They left peaceably. The other church granted them peaceable leave, and that's where they're at. Meeting together, serving God. They said to say thank you to our media team. Every other Sunday, they watch our services on the internet. So they're thankful for that. I know y'all sometimes go unnoticed, you know, think it's just a tiresome job to do nothing with, but here's a group of folks that does use it. And they're not the only ones. I've gotten mentioned from others in other countries that have used it, but they use it every other Sunday. They use ours, and every other Sunday they use another church's that live stream. It's actually a live service. Ours are not live. And then one Sunday a month, one of the men of the church brings a message. And so they are doing well. But as you can imagine, one of the young men was born in the church, never known another church. This is only one. And he just said, I just don't think this is of God. We cannot put human laws on people. And so, but they left the two groups parted peaceably. I guess that's one good thing out of it. They're not bickering across town at each other. So pray for them. Pray that the Lord's direction will be done. I will be honest with you. The reason they had asked me to come up there was they were seeking a church to sponsor them in authority. And I told them, I'd tell our church the situation, we'd pray about it. And we'll see where God leads from there. Couldn't promise them nothing else, but we can pray. I know we can do that. So that was the whole deal. And it was encouraging to them. It was. One of the ladies that was asked to leave was Miss Reeves, pastor's wife of the church for 37 years. So, be in prayer for the group. The Lord leads us, we will. If you hear about a qualified man that's seeking a pastor that doesn't mind working because he's going to have to work a little bit, that's just part of it. Some places you go, and some places you have to work a little on the secular side, and some places you don't. So, if you find somebody that you know that's qualified, biblically qualified to be a pastor, let us know. Let's pass the information on. It's not like down here. I mean, they were out in the middle of nowhere. We landed in Winnipeg, drove 2 hours. The nearest church to them that is with the like faith and practice is 4 hours away from them. So it's not like here, you know. There's several churches that we can fellowship. Like when I left, we was able to find a man that believed like us, come in and fed you while I was away. And so, not everybody's as blessed as we are. So let's, you know, we went through a church. We went 11 years. No pastor. And the Bible says that what we've been comforted with, we can use to be a comfort to others. They're just getting into it. So let's pray for them and seek God's face and see if we can pray in God's man for them up in Canada. It'd be a blessing. It's a good group of people that love the Lord that want to do right. And so let's do our part. Let's pray for them. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 14. And continue our studies verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We've been in Mark a little while now. It's only 16 chapters, but we've been moseying along through the book of Mark for a little bit now. I don't know, probably a good year. Does anybody know? I don't know. I lost track. It's been a while. Maybe not a year. Maybe I think we started at the end of February this year. But we're in, how long has it been? I thought somebody said something. Hearing things. No? Okay, y'all don't know either. That's okay. I can look back into the notes and see when we started. I believe it's been a while. It has been a while, but I enjoy going. September last year. You didn't realize there's that much in one book, did you? And we're just in chapter 14, verse 27. Let's read down 27 through 31 and we'll get started and we'll see how far the Lord gets us tonight. Of course, this is the portion of the passage where Jesus predicts Peter's denial, not only Peter's, but all of them as well. Thereafter, as the Lord gets ready to enter into the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Now this word offended is not the same way that we are accustomed to it being thrown out and thrown everywhere around today. Obvious. I mean, we are one of the most offended generations that I have ever seen. Do you understand? So let me pause here just for a minute for you guys who spend a lot of time on social media. Do you understand something? It will not take your breath away if you just keep scrolling by something that you don't like. I promise you, you'll just live on. And probably with less trouble in your heart. Because as soon as you pause and you start reading and you read it again, you know as well as I do, you want to say something. Even if you don't, I'm thankful that a lot of y'all just think about it and don't really post a lot of that, because once you press in, it's out there. It is. But understand something. If somebody, for instance, here's a good one. This here thing about hunting. And vegetarians, back and forth. That bothers a lot of folks. It bothers us, you know. And I'm sorry if I kill the deer and it bothers you, but listen, you're eating that deer's food. And I got to make sure that that deer's cared for. See, that bothers some folks. Some of you, what is he talking about? Deers eat grass. Grass are for vegetarians. Now you're getting it. I tell you, some people get bothered by people hunting. You know, that's my God-given right. I'm not bothered by you. If you want to eat a salad 16 times a day, that don't bother me. Matter of fact, put you some more broccoli in there with it. I'm okay. But some folks, it bothers. And they get offended if you put, you know, you like hunting or you like something other, you know, you like racing or whatever. They get offended. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about actually a stumbling. They were going to stumble tonight. They were going to fall back. That's what it's talking about. And that's what they did. They done walked with the Lord, according as far as we can tell, 3.5 years in this here thing for the Lord in the ministry. Somewhere around that point. And now all of a sudden, because they come to take him by force, and Jesus is telling, listen, this is going to happen. This is what's going to take place. And all the disciples would be offended and stumble. Not just old Peter. You know, in Zechariah chapter 13. Matter of fact, go there. Zechariah 13 and 7. Zechariah 13 and 7 gives a prophecy of this. Zechariah in the Old Testament, right before Malachi. So you go to Matthew, back up to Malachi, and then you find Zechariah. Zechariah 13 and 7. The Bible says there in Zechariah 13:7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall scatter. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And this is what Jesus was doing. He was warning them. That, hey, they're fixing to come and fixing to take the shepherd. They're going to smite me, and you're going to scatter. This was something. Listen, this is God's warning for us today as well. I mean, this is God's warning right now to even us today. That on every turn, they're smiting at the Word of God. They're smiting at the name of Christ, and they're trying to separate us from biblical thoughts and biblical patterns and biblical beliefs and so forth. Like that coach up there, the Ninth Circuit judicial system said that he couldn't kneel out on the 50-yard line and pray by himself. They didn't rule on him. So he can't do it. He's an officer of the school system, and he can't do that. And, you know, they tell you don't have no rights, and they try to smite. But this is what, guess what happens? Everybody stands, and everybody's for it until you're included in the lawsuit. Then everybody scatters. They know what they're doing. But Jesus has warned us. This is going to happen. And the thing about this is that Jesus, even warning them of this, knowing what they were going to do, you see after his resurrection, even in the midst of this, he gives them comfort. I don't know about you, if you knew somebody's fixing to deny you or betray you or turn you over or just do you wrong, I don't know that I personally would bring them any comfort. But we notice here, and Jesus did. There in verse 28, he says, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." Look, guys, this is going to happen. But I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. That's comfort. I mean, they missed it here, and we're going to see that as they missed the comfort. How do you know? Because look over at Mark 16:6. Go to Mark chapter 16. They missed all this here comforting words the Lord gives us. And sometimes we can't see the comfort of the Lord because we're too fixed upon the circumstances of life. Mark 16 and 6, the Bible says there in Mark 16 and verse number 6, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen." Didn't Jesus tell you all he's going to rise? Yes, he did. "He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid." Laying in verse 7, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him." And guess what the angel says? "As he said unto you." Too many times we get too mixed up and caught up in the circumstances of life. We actually miss the comforting words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get caught up into things and the fears and we get in the circumstances, the tribulations of life, and we forget that Jesus said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You forget that he said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We forget that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We forget scriptures like our faith is our victory and so forth and so on because of the circumstances of life. And not to say the circumstances isn't real. This is really what's fixing to happen. They were fixing to smite the shepherd. This wasn't a fairy tale. This was really fixing to take place. So your trials, your troubles, whatever they might be, whether they're relationship troubles, financial troubles, whether they are a home with children type problems or spouse type tribulational difficulties through marriage, whatever it might be, health issues and things of that nature, those are real. They're not figment of your imagination. Brother Lee, you wish it was a figment of your imagination, don't you? That this was not really happening. But Brother Lee's going through some physical problems right now. It's happening. It's real to him. And in the midst of that reality, dear friend, if we're not careful to hold and grips upon the promises of God, dear friend, we will falter in our weakness. Peter said, "Oh no, Lord." What did he say? How did the Bible put it? Look over at the scriptures back over at Mark, verse 31. "But he spake more vehemently." May I encourage you to understand this, that the strongness of your words does not change the reality of your fears. Peter spoke more vehemently. Just because you get more strong in your stance and words doesn't make the spirit more strengthened. It does not. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is very weak. Look at Peter says, look over in Luke chapter 22, if you would. Luke chapter 22. Look at the words of the Lord in Luke. Luke 22. And verse number 31. Luke 22. Verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now this isn't talking about salvation here. It's when it says, when thou art converted, it's not talking about Peter getting saved. Peter's already saved. He's been born again for a little while yet. But when his mind is renewed and strengthened upon the promises of the Lord, you know, when Peter was there fishing, the Lord said, Peter, you love me. Yes, Lord. Peter, you love, feed my sheep. You love me, Peter. Well, yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love, yes, I done told you three times. He realized that the change began to take place as he realized who he was without God and what he could do as he surrendered and yielded himself through and Christ working through him. And his faith was strengthened. And Peter was able to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach, and 3,000 folks heard him and accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There's a confirmation that comes along that you are God's child. Your spirit bears witness. There's times of weakness, times of doubt. There's times that there's uncertainty. Like remember John the Baptist said, go ask him if it's him. And John the Baptist had some real fears. Jesus said, go tell him. There's no man born of woman is greater than you, John. Go back and tell him. And Peter at this point said, listen, I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I am not going to deny you. He says, oh, yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. When you get your life back in order, Peter, strengthen your brother. Let me tell you something, dear friend. If you're saved, you know you're saved, you walk with the Lord for a little bit, and you fall into sin, and you get your life right, you need to strengthen your brother. You need to make sure that they understand what you went off into was not right, that it was wrong. And they don't have to follow that same path. Brother Bill mentioned it today about the school of hard knocks. Dear friend, we got to get to the point where we learn from one another. We get to the point where we understand that, hey, there are real traps and real down landmines out there that cause heartache, pain, and suffering. And we need to allow ourselves to be able to be a testament of God's grace and strengthening so that they don't go down the same path. I've never in my life have seen folks that want to, follow the wicked steps of this world and think there's no consequences. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow. When you're strengthened, dear friend, when you are fixed and converted in your mind, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world, and that you are God's child, and that God lives within you, the hope of glory. Let that light shine so others who are weak, I tell you, there's some just looking around, they're watching you. And they're weak in the flesh, they're weak in their heart, weak in their minds. He says, strengthen thy brother. Look at verse 30. Back in Mark chapter 14, verse number 30. Verily, 14 verse 30. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me. I mean, it was a specific warning to Peter. And yet Peter still failed. I mean, this is the words coming off the lips of the Lord. Peter, I prayed for you. The devil wants to sift you as wheat. The devil, he wants to take you, and he wants to abuse you. He wants to tear you apart and rip you apart. Peter, I prayed for you. These are the words that come straight out of his mouth. You and I have the written word. The written word. And it is God's word as we read it. So don't think that you are any different of being susceptible to boastful pride. Look with me, if you would, over in 1 Corinthians 10. We need to be very careful in confidence. Now, there's a difference in what we can be confident in. We can be confident in knowing whom we have believed. We can be confident in the Lord. The Lord is saying yesterday, today, and forever. But we cannot become confident in our own flesh. We cannot come to the point where we can stand in our own strength. For 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And say, I got this, I can handle this, and I can make it through this, and I don't need anybody's help. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 11, the Bible says there, now all these things happen unto them for in samples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Don't stand in your own power and your own might and your own strength and say, I can handle this. I can handle the lust of the heart. The Bible says this to us in the book of Proverbs. Can man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? The answer is no. And that's talking about the sexual, sensual sense of things. Can a man take other sinful acts and items and appetites into his bosom and not be burned? The answer is obviously no. Obvious. Whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, sex, alcohol, drugs, pornography, lust of the eye, pride of life. Whatever it might be, dear friend, you cannot handle it in yourself. And this ought to help us to understand that. If you had a problem with it and you've already fallen into it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, why in the world would you ever think you could make it through the 6, 7, 8 time on your own? You can't. I saw a little picture yesterday of an Indian, and the Indian said this, only the white man, and don't get offended, that's all of you out here that's Caucasian, only the white man can think he can cut off 2 inches of a blanket off top and sew it to the bottom and make it a longer blanket. Talking about daylight savings time. Only the fool that has fallen into sin in the same trap 2, 3 times can keep saying to himself or herself, I'll get past it tomorrow by myself. No. That's the devil's lie. That's the devil's trap to keep those hooks into your life and to keep you into bondage. You cannot. Matter of fact, many times with some of the stronger things of life, that get a hold of people, even when you have good, kind, loving, God-nurturing people around you, you still sometimes slip and fall. You do. So you can't. Peter's with more vehemently, I will not deny you. And we've done the same. We've woken up and been like, I will not do this. I will not do that anymore. I can handle this. And he was warned this day. And then he narrowed it. Not only this day, which is 24-hour period. This night, Peter. This night. You'll deny me. Not once. Not twice. But 3 times in a single night. Peter would fall. In the sea. The good news is this. When Jesus rose, he said, go tell Peter. Remember what he told the angel? The angel said, go tell Peter and the brethren. He's in Galilee. He's in Galilee. Jesus loves you. He wants to see you through all that. It doesn't matter what your problem is, what your difficulty is, what sin that has entrapped you and dug its nails into you, dear friend. There's nothing greater and more powerful than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. None. Peter says, I can do it. And it says there in 1 Corinthians, which is amazing, there's no temptation which is not, no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Don't think you're the first one to go through this. Don't think at all you're the very first one. Whatever it might be. You go through the scripture, you can find examples, in samples. That's what it said in the scriptures there as we read it, these things. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples for us. That means they went through it. They've gone through it. They've fallen. They faltered. They failed. They've sinned. They've found themselves on the wrong side of right, standing on their own self. And the scripture gives a clear indication of how to get fellowship back with God. Confess it. Come back to Him. Admit it. Own it. Okay, we can't live in a life where we blame everybody else. Own it. Lord, I have sinned. You remember when Nathan came to David? Nathan told him this old big old scenario story about some fictional thing. Or was it fiction is real or not real? Fiction's not real, right? Told him some kind of made up story. And David's sitting there listening, mad. I'm just mad. And then he looked at him and said, you're the one. You, David, you're the one. So all this made up story boiled down to him. Let me tell you something. You've got to own it. Got to own it. Tell you, denial of him was in word. It was a heartbreaking thing. I can imagine, only imagine that night there in the judgment hall as Jesus already knew. He wasn't even around him. There's one when he's around the fire. Jesus, you know, being God, knows all. Peter done did it. Probably just reached over there with the power and squeezed the beak of the rooster. Psst, be quiet, not yet. I've said something. I want Peter to know. Oh, there goes Peter again. Can you know in Peter's heart, the first time, I can't believe I did that. I told the Lord I wouldn't deny Him. I can't believe it. The second time, the rooster didn't crow anyway. Then the third time, and the rooster crowed. Jesus just opened the mouth. Preacher, you're crazy as you can be. Well, you shut the mouth of lions. So you read it how you want to and make up your stories when you're preaching. I'm telling you this. It broke the heart of the Lord. And it woke Peter up. What conviction? A rooster. But just a rooster crowing. Woke him up. Look at verse 32. Verse number 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he brings his disciples. Here's all 11 of them now. One's missing. You remember we studied that 2 weeks ago. One's gone out. Jesus said to him, what you going to do? Go do quickly. It was Judas. He was going to gather up the crowd. He had done made an agreement. So he brings his disciples there. And he leaves 8 of them in this spot. And he says, now you stay here, guys. You stay right here. And he begins to distribute them out into groups there. And he comes to this place called Gethsemane. Now Gethsemane was located at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And I looked up that word Gethsemane and the biblical dictionary said it means an oil press. An oil press. So he brings the eight of them there to the entrance with a stern one and said, "You wait here." That's what he says in verse 3. "And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray." And then he takes three other ones with him. Verse 33. "And he taketh with him Peter, James, John, and began to be sore and amazed and to be very heavy." So three others he take a little further into the garden. Now these same three men, in other occasions, were taken by the Lord. Remember the Mount Transfiguration? He was taking them there and he pulled them aside and he did. So he's taking these three a little bit. So the one, they were all 12 gathered around the upper room, around the Lord's Supper, the table there. They were learning how and getting the proper way to participate in the Lord's Supper there in the upper room there. So they're all 12 are there. One sent away. Then the Bible says there, they came out of the upper room singing a hymn, going down into the Garden of Gethsemane. There in this place, and Jesus said, you wait right here. You three, you come on with me. And you come a little bit further. The question is this, dear friend. How far would the Lord take you? Simple question. I would be thankful just to be part of the Lord's group that he just brought out. I'm glad I'm not Judas running over there doing what I'm doing quickly. But can I be honest with you? There's been times in my life I've been that Judas. I've been running out there doing my own thing quickly. But praise God, I mean, we're still with him. Are you here tonight? You was here this morning. So he takes you on a little bit further. He says, listen, stay right here. Will we listen? Or will we get jealous? Why is he taking in? I'm going over there. How far are you going to go? The answer to the question is simple. I'm going to go as far as the Lord tells me to go, and I'm going to move when the Lord tells me to go. I'm going to do as the Lord tells me to do. The three move on. He brings them a little bit further, and he begins to pray and be sorrowful, heavy. That's what the Bible says. Verse 32, 31, 33. "And he taketh him with him, Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." Now, I don't know about you, but dear friend, but when I read this, it's all about it being amazed and sorrowful and heavy. The sorrow of the Savior, to think about it, I can only stand in awe and wonder at the agony. As he goes a little bit further, we know he goes a little bit further because he says, you stay here. And another portion of Scripture says he began to pray to seek the face of God, that it was as if great drops of blood. I can only imagine the agony and sorrow now at this point. What's bringing all this agony and sorrow? Of course, we know that he's going to take the sin of the world upon him. We know that one is gone. We know that there's eight here that went a little bit further. And there's three that went on. But the agony, the sorrow, and the pain. Matter of fact, go over to Psalms chapter 42, verse 11. And you'll see a portion of Scripture there. Psalms 42. You kind of have a prophecy here of the same situation. Psalms 42 and verse 11. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Why art thou cast down? I just the sorrow. I mean, just the agony. In verse 34, this is what it says. And he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. And he says this, tarry ye here and watch. Instructions. Those same instructions are given to you and I. To tarry, to watch. You remember as we finished the passage of Scripture over in chapter 13 where it was talking about the second coming of the Lord. What was His instructions? Chapter 13, verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. It's an exceeding sorrow. I mean, to me...